Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. Now, as we heard earlier, today is Abby's birthday. Oh, don't say it. I have to embarrass you a little bit. And of course, I actually had planned to talk about birthdays today, so I'm really glad that it's her birthday, that we can talk about this a little more. What kind of things do you guys do to show someone that you care about them on their birthday? What do you do, Ryan? You bring them presents. What else? Cake. Abby wants cake, guys. I assume that's what that meant. What else, Joshy? There's one thing I think we can do right now. Do you know what it is? No, not go to church. Well, you can take them to church on their birthday. That works. You can pray for them. There's one other thing. What do you do usually when they blow out their candles? What, Joshy? You can sing happy birthday. So let's do that for Abby right now. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Abby. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, now I wanted to bring this up today because we're also talking about ways that we can love other people and ways that we love God and ways that we love Jesus. And one thing that he says is that we can love him by obeying him. And we do that and we show him how much we love him by the things we do for him and how we obey him, how we follow his word and how we treat other people. So I just want you to remember that. Think about how you treat people on their birthday, how you show them how much you care about them, and how we can show Jesus all the ways that we love him and that we care about God. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you have given us ways that we can show our love for you, Lord. And I pray that we always can express our love to you in the ways that you want us to, Lord, that we can obey your word, that we can show our love for you through our actions. We pray this in your name. Amen.
We're very privileged this morning to have with us Reverend Darnell Golphin from the Church of Broken Pieces. And I have been friends with the Golphins for many, many years. Our boys went to school with their girls. They're long grown and gone. And of course, being in Minersville, the Church of Broken Pieces, we've been friends for a very long time. Reverend Golphin is particularly gifted, and I'm always humbled by his knowledge of Scripture, moves my heart. And he is preparing to do something special, but we are benefiting by that in that he is coming to minister to us in song and word. I just pray that you would make Reverend Golphin welcome. Reverend Golphin?
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord, and good morning. First, I'd just like for my wife, Evangelist Charlotte Golphin, if she would stand. Amen. God has blessed me with this young lady for how long we've been married, dear? Wonderful years. And she has truly been a help me. And I just thank God for her. And also I brought along with me, well, I should say he brought me along, my driver, Brother Henry Purcell. And I thank him for being available to get me here. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Sonny. And I'm pretty sure she has heard this before, but she was blessed with the right name, because she truly has a sunny disposition. And, you know, and she has been a wonderful woman of God and just a wonderful woman ever since we have known her. So we, again, thank God for her and her ministry. And I understand her husband isn't here today. He's with their son. Amen. But he's just as sunny as his wife. So, you know, thank you. Thank God for the both of them. And I certainly thank God for the congregation here. I know the hour is far spent, so we're going to move on. So I'm going to ask if you would stand for a word of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, Lord God, just thanking you for your goodness and your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you called our names out this morning and started us on a new day's journey, a day, Lord God, where you'll be able to use us for your glory, God. And we just take a moment of time to say thank you, Lord, for even counting us worthy to be used by the Master's hand. So, God, we just ask that you would continue to bless us as we have already been blessed for the things that has already transpired, Lord God. Again, we just thank you for it and just have your way. We ask these blessings in Jesus' precious name, all in agreement. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm used to grabbing a mic and holding on to it, you know.
Oh, we have one of those.
Talking through the mic, you know. I'm trying to grab something here.
Johnny, where's our handheld?
Praise the Lord. I just have one question. In fact, I have a couple of questions before I move on. Amen. Yes, you know, keep a watch on the clock for me, okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Pastor, was that you singing in my right ear earlier? So I need to sit down and let you do the same. you have such a beautiful voice. I love that. And then the pianist and organist.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You know, so I should come here and leave a big offering for you.
Here is the handheld. There you go.
It doesn't even have to be on. I can just pretend, you know. I just needed something in my hand. That's all. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I'm just blessed this morning to be in your presence. The music has been a blessing to my heart. I'm always fascinated with the organ. You know, I love the piano. I play the piano myself, but I'm fascinated with the organ. Why I didn't take the organ up, I don't know. But again, I'm just fascinated with that instrument, and I enjoy what has transpired thus far. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to ask if you would turn your Bibles, if you happen to have them with you, to... We want to go to the first book of John. The first book of John, and you want to find me in chapter 4. Normally I have someone to read for me, so I'm going to ask if I can get a volunteer to read for me. But I don't want Pastor Sonny Stock to read for me, though. Okay, I want another volunteer. Can I get a volunteer?
Young man.
All right. Bless your heart. Just read out so that the congregation can hear you and so that I can. 1 John chapter 4
is where we're going to go. And we're going to start at verse 18. So I'm going to ask if you would read verse 18 for me.
There is no fear in love. Just like Jesus, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Thank you so much. You said right there. Thank you so much. There is no fear in love. Now, we know love to, first of all, as it relates to English, happens to be a noun and a verb. But this morning, I want to talk about the action part of love. I sent down the scriptures and I said that we were going to take a look at Matthew's chapter 5, verse 14. You don't have to turn to it. And also, St. John, chapter 15 and verse 13. You don't have to turn to that either. But love, there is no fear in love. And the second part of that said that there's torment in fear. So, let's examine this a little if we can. You and I, as children of the Most High God, have the opportunity, the promise, that you and I can operate and live fearless. You know, we can operate in God's love, perfect love. I said I wanted to take a look at Matthew 5 and verse 14. And it says that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that we are the lights of the world. And, you know, lights have properties. In other words, lights do something in the environment that it's in. If you turn on the light, then you no longer have darkness. So light causes darkness to vanish. We use light to do operations. They use, you know, laser lights to do certain operations. Procedures. We also use light to preserve. So, if we're the lights of the world, because you and I, profess to be children of the Most High God, disciples of Jesus Christ, then we need to model or do the things that Jesus Christ did. And if we're going to do those things, then it means that we have to begin to operate in perfect love. Now, it's the fear factor that keeps us from operating in perfect love. Fear makes one sister not say to another sister, your slip is hanging like 6 inches, below your skirt. Amen? Because she's worrying about how that sister is going to react to what she just said. Amen. Fear, you know, keeps a brother from saying to another brother, hey, look, man, you need a haircut. Amen. Now, you may say it, you know, diplomatically, but still, you know, fear keeps you from telling this brother, hey, man, you need to get your hair cut. Okay? Also, fear, you know, keeps us from stepping past our comfort zone. In St. John 15, verse 13, you know, it says something like, you know, greater love. And this greater love is that a man would lay down his life for his friends. So that same brother that said, man, you need a haircut. Let's examine that for 1 second. Why does this brother, not go to the barbershop? Perhaps it's because he doesn't have the money to go to the barbershop. Fear says to the individual that told him he needed a haircut, I better not ask him why he hasn't gotten his haircut, because he might ask me for money to get his haircut. Fear makes you believe that if I give him the money to get his hair cut, then I'm not going to have money to do what I need to do. See, it's fear that keeps us from operating in all of what God has for you and me. See, it takes courage to be a light of the world. It takes courage to operate in God's perfect love. It took courage for our risen Savior, you know, to walk from, you know, Bethlehem all the way to the cross. It took perfect love for him to do that, because he had to come past his fears. The word of God says he was of like passion, just like you and me. We all have fears. But the word of God said this morning that perfect love, you know, there's no fear there. There's no fear in perfect love, because ultimately we come into an understanding that it's God, Almighty God, that keeps you and I. Regardless to what circumstances we find ourselves in, what situations we find ourselves in, we know ultimately all of these things, according to the word of God, happens for our good. Isn't that right? For those who are the called, to those who love the Lord. But again, it's fear that keeps us from operating as a child of God ought to behave. Love says that, you know, I'm going to come past the offense of my brother. In fact, if you read on in that same 1 John chapter 4, you know, 19 and 20 and 21, you know, it goes on to say, how can you know, you say you love God and not operate in love with your brother? How can you hate your brother whom you see, but love God whom you have never seen? Now we're talking about the verb factor of love. You know, love is an action word. If you love, show love. But in order to show love, you must come past your fears. In order to show love, you know, that greater love, you must be able to lay down your life. It's so hard for us to come past our comfort zone. When we try to do it in ourselves. But the fact of the matter is that if you're a child of God, then you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you and I. Isn't that right? So let's not let fear keep us from enjoying God's perfect love, which he has, you know, intended for you and I to operate in, to move in, for our benefit and for our brothers and sisters' benefits. And God, there's no need to fear. God is love. And if we're his disciples, then we are to be love. It's difficult, impossible to be a light of the world and operate in any fashion but in love. Jesus talks so much about love because outside of it, you have nothing. We have nothing. So whatever your situation has been, I'm believing today that you will be bold and come past all your fears and be able to love your neighbor as yourself. Not understanding your neighbor, because the word of God doesn't say that we have to understand our neighbor. It says we have to love them. We don't have to be afraid of their differences, because God will take care of all of that. We just have to love them. So I encourage each and every one in here today that you would love your neighbor as yourself. You don't fear loving yourself, amen? Now, if you can just love your neighbor like that, guess what? You'll find yourself operating in perfect love. God wants that for each and every one of us. Why not operate in that now? Because you know, once you leave this veil of tears, amen, yeah, you won't have to worry about it. Okay, it's for us right here and now. So again, let's trust God that we don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear anybody. For it is God and God alone that keeps you and I. So don't let fear stop you from being all that you can be. I'm reminded that an individual was, I was told that Michael Jordan, basketball player, everybody knows his name. It's, you know, connected with being great. And it's a worldwide recognition, recognized name. You know, he said, you know, his greatest fear, if he had a fear, was that he did not try. He did not, you know, he was fearful not to try. And I hope each and every one of us in here can say that today. I fear not trying. So again, let's operate in perfect love. Let's, you know, not be afraid to lay our lives down for our brother. Because you gain and they gain. So we thank God